The spirit of performance defines Acura. And now, it's electric. Introducing the all-electric ZDX, Acura's most powerful SUV yet. While what powers their cars may change, the energy that makes Acura never will. Crafted using the same formula that brought them electrified supercars and multiple IMSA championships, the ZDX has track-tested performance that packs an energy all its own. With a premium Bang & Olufsen sound system and up to 313-mile range on a single charge, and a Type S variant with an estimated 500 horsepower, the ZDX is everything they said electric could never be. It was built with the driver in mind, just like Acura has been doing since the beginning. We could talk all day, but the only way to experience this electric performance is to drive it yourself. Unlock the energy and order yours at Acura.com.
Market moving insight and analysis. Join Jim Cramer, David Faber, and me, Carl Quintanilla, on the opening bell hour of CNBC Squawk on the Street. Good Monday morning. Welcome to Squawk on the Street. I'm Carl Quintanilla with Jim Cramer and David Faber. It is an historic morning for markets and for medicine as well, as Pfizer's vaccine data shows 90% efficacy, no serious safety concerns so far, massive implications for stocks, oil, global growth, interest rates, the Fed, the future of America at large. We are looking here. Take a look at the screen. You won't see many mornings like this. One of the biggest gaps higher in recent memory, Jim, and stocks with all-time highs in sight at the open.
Yeah, but look, we have to be careful because there are so many, many companies that benefit, but we have been piling into stocks that were meant to be as if there was no vaccine till sometime, maybe sometime late 2021, where then there'll be 2022. So you have the NASDAQ futures up way too much. You have the S&P, I think, in Dow up the correct amount, given what is in those stocks, because you've got the bank stocks. Suddenly, maybe they get a real break. Travel and leisure, just incredible how bad they've been. But then again, you've got, say, stocks like, I don't know, what do you do with a service now here? Honestly, what do you do with a company like a Zoom or Peloton? I think those stocks are uniquely priced for a belief that COVID is going to be with us for a long time. David, you know that a lot of these stocks are trading not as if they're going to be households and everyone's going to have them, but they've been trading as if there's going to be catastrophic growth in number of cases. And while there still could be for the next 3-4 months, I think there's going to be an element that says that, you know what, it can get under control. So start thinking about the second half of 2021 for numbers.
Right. Well, unfortunately, there has been catastrophic growth in cases. And unfortunately, sure, that seems to be something that we're going to be living with for the next few months, to your point, Jim. Now, you made this earlier on Squawk Box, so the other point, which is these stocks move well in advance, of course, of the actual return of revenues, of significant revenues. But, you know, what interests me the most is, how much do you sell some of the big technology stocks? How much should Microsoft really sell off today, Jim, if at all, based on the reopening trade that clearly a lot of people have had on, or if they didn't have it on, they're putting it on today, which also included, one would assume, hedging in certain areas and potentially being short some names. I mean, I can understand why you'd sell Amazon or eBay.
Right.
But why would you sell Microsoft?
No, that's on the cusp of what you want to buy if things come down, because that's a business that benefited but wasn't really why you bought it. And I would tell you, let's go further, Apple. I mean, how many times have we sat here and said, you know what, Apple is going to be just crushed when President Xi says he hates President Trump? Well, you know, David, that narrative is not as much in play as it was a week ago. So I think you buy Apple if that one comes in.
Interesting. All right.
Got oil above 40 here, Jim. The 10-year yielding 92 basis points. I mean, you've talked about 40 being critical for crude.
Well, it's
and we've
great.
Talked about 1% on the 10-year being a year-end risk.
Well, look, I think that you're going to get Chevron. It's up 7. Maybe Chevron goes up another $5, $6. And then you're faced with the fact that we still have way too much oil in the world, and we shouldn't necessarily expect that the price of oil is going to stay up because of what David just said, which is not going to just turn on a dime. But, you know, you get a lot of companies that really existed for people to stay at home in a very, very long time, or the pantry stocks. And you start thinking, well, you know what, do I really want to own, I have Campbell Soup on this week. Is Campbell Soup the ideal stock to own, David, during a period where the pandemic might end?
Not necessarily.
Right.
Man, these moves are incredible. They really are. I mean, I guess Disney World is going to reopen to full capacity, what, tomorrow? You know, that's the other thing, Jim. And we talked to Dr. Gottlieb, or our colleagues on Squawk Box talked to Dr. Gottlieb. This is great news, no doubt about it. A 90% rate is well beyond what many had hoped for. But when is this thing really going to be fully available? In terms of manufacturing, they are ramping up. You heard Mr. Bourla, of course, the CEO of Pfizer, talking with Meg about that earlier. But when is it really going to be fully available? And then we come back to this question of how many people will be willing to take it, which is continuing to be a concern. I'll take it right now.
I'll take it right now.
I can get on a plane and go anywhere I want in the world. Give it to me right now.
See my daughter in Spain?
Right now.
I'll bring it to her.
But Jim, that's not everybody. And so there will still be that question of how quickly can we get to rates that will start to really mean that a lot of the population's been immunized, that you get to that sort of area where you can talk about herd immunity and things of that nature.
But what happens if you have a president, Carl, and this is an interesting thought, a president who says it's really not a state issue, that it's a federal issue, and that the military is saying, we know from a program last night on another channel, the military standing by to be able to distribute it. I had Carol Tomei on last week, the CEO of UPS. She has built freezer farms throughout this country and tells me she is ready to handle it. So, I mean, I think that we're a little more ahead than Dr. Gottlieb thinks, but I also believe that the never vaccine people will play a role in hindering the end of this pandemic.
Yep. The president-elect did make a statement this morning about how does not ameliorate the need for masks or mitigation as we got to get through the fall. The discussion will turn to distribution logistics, as you said, convincing Americans to take it. Meg Terrell, of course, helped us break the news this morning and talk to Alberta Bourla of Pfizer. She joins us again. Good morning, Meg.
Good morning, Carl. So the news this morning that Pfizer and BioNTech's COVID-19 vaccine was 90% effective in preventing COVID-19 in their phase 3 vaccine trial. Of course, this is historic news. This is the first efficacy trial to read out results. Of course, we are waiting for more, of course, from companies like Moderna within weeks, J&J and AstraZeneca before the end of the year. But this is just so much better than anybody expected for these vaccines to work. So essentially, they saw 94 confirmed cases of COVID-19 in the trial. And the way they see that 90% efficacy number is that there were just a lot more cases among people who got the placebo, so who didn't get the vaccine, than people who got the vaccine. No serious safety concerns observed in the trial. We spoke with Pfizer CEO Albert Bourla this morning. Here's what he told us.
In biology, you never have 100%. And in general, speaking about more than 90% is one of the highest results that you can hope and expect for vaccines right now. And there will be also some people, but it will be a small percentage. So when you see it from public health perspective, this is more than what you could ever hope to have. This is a game changer.
And guys, to put it in perspective, what 90% efficacy means for a vaccine, compared to other vaccines that we know well, seasonal flu vaccines, only 40 to 60% effective. The FDA bar for approving a COVID-19 vaccine or giving an emergency use authorization was 50% effective. When you're talking about above 90%, which Pfizer CEO told us their vaccine was this morning, you're talking about measles at two doses, 97% effectiveness, smallpox, 95%. Of course, smallpox has been eradicated through vaccination. Chickenpox, two doses of the that vaccine, 92% effective in preventing this disease. Guys, all of the questions have not been answered. In fact, there are many, many more that people have this morning. Vaccine experts I'm talking with want to know about the vaccine's protectiveness against severity of disease, how well it worked among different age groups, particularly the elderly. This morning, we just got top line results. We haven't seen the detailed information, which we hope to see over the next few weeks as they get ready to apply for FDA emergency use authorization. Of course, a major question, which you guys have been talking about, is the supply, and then how many people will be willing to take this vaccine. We've been seeing all the survey results showing there is hesitancy, not just existing to vaccines in general, but because this process has gone so fast, guys, and everybody involved with it will say they have not been cutting corners. And the FDA requires 2 months safety follow-up from the time half the people in the trial got their second shot. In order for any company to file for regulatory clearance. So Pfizer plans to get there in the third week of November. That's next week, guys. So we could be seeing this filing, and then we'll watch this play out. But, of course, the supply, also a huge question next. Back over to you.
Meg, when I profess to being older than you, I know that that's probably something even David questions. But I had to get in line at our high school to get a polio vaccination and then a polio sugar cube. It really wasn't up to us. It was up to the federal government, and we were deemed to have to get it. New president coming in, old president going out. We don't know. Very important court challenges. But what are the possibilities that we get a president who just says, it's really not up to us. It's really up to the state, up to the federal government, because we don't want to have a massive light lockdown because we don't want to have millions of people lose their jobs. And so you got to take it.
We should look back to see, you know, what Vice President or President-elect Biden has said about this issue, if he's weighed in. It doesn't seem like something that would be received well, you know, that the American people would be mandated to take a vaccine. The messaging we've been hearing from Operation Warp Speed and folks leading this effort has been anybody who wants a vaccine should be able to get it, you know, at a certain point in the middle of next year. This is going to take some time for it to roll out. What we could see, Jim, which will be interesting, is do schools mandate this?
Right.
Of course, they haven't tested this in young children yet, but do universities mandate this? Do businesses? How will that work? Rather than coming potentially from the federal level, we'll have to see what they say on that.
Meg, I just want to understand what we can expect to continue to come from the data monitoring committee here in terms of when they chose, or, you know, people are focused in terms of, well, they dropped the 32 case interim analysis and they went to 62 and then they ended up with 94. Can you just explain what they're talking about when they talk about that and what we can expect to get beyond what we heard today?
Yeah, so remember we were expecting this data back at the end of October, and when we didn't get it, everybody's like, oh, this vaccine must not work. So they were going to take the first interim look at this data once they had 32 cases of COVID in the trial. That was set, that plan to take a look at that point was set a while back. The FDA then gave guidance that you needed 2 months safety follow-up from half the people in the trial getting vaccinated before you could even consider filing for clearance. So even if Pfizer had taken that look at the end of October, they wouldn't have been able to file until the middle of November anyway. What they decided to do in consultation with the FDA, they said in the release today, is not to take that look at 32 cases and in fact to wait until the next interim analysis. And then by that point, cases were spreading so quickly, they had 94 cases in the trial. And so this is more cases than we expected them to have to be making this initial efficacy determination. And that makes it even stronger, you know, that they have 90% efficacy because the breakdown of cases was so heavily balanced in the placebo group to the vaccine group. It shows the vaccine is truly protective. Now, we do know that Pfizer plans to continue the trial until they get to, I believe it's something like 164 cases that determines that, you know, they've really finished the trial in terms of efficacy. And then they'll update us on what the efficacy looks like then. They don't expect it to change dramatically, but Albert Bourla told us it could change a point or two in either direction. Now, they will continue to follow everybody in this trial, 44,000 participants, for 2 years to get the longer-term safety and efficacy follow-up. Because a key question, of course, is we don't know how long this protection is going to last. So those are questions that need to be answered. But, David, I'm glad you asked that question because I was itching to talk about it. It's an important one, but kind of in the details.
Speaking of details, Meg, it's hard to separate all of this from the election. And I know you'll want to help our viewers who might be confused as to why Pfizer would say they were never part of Warp Speed and never took any government money when, in fact, there is a commitment to buy eventually, right?
Yes, there is. So Operation Warp Speed made a deal with Pfizer to pay $1.95 billion for 100 million doses of the vaccine if it is successful and cleared by the FDA. Pfizer did not accept any development money to support the research and development of the vaccine. They preferred to go it alone. They said they could do it faster if they went alone. And they are the first company to report out positive phase three results, or any phase three results, really. They are under the Operation Warp Speed umbrella, but they are sort of on the side of it. So they had a purchasing guarantee if the vaccine worked. But if it hadn't worked, they wouldn't have gotten any money. So now that it has, it's about $2 billion going to Pfizer from the U.S. government.
Jim, as we say goodbye to Meg, Art Cashin this morning talks about dialing up the RNA, the novel procedure that Pfizer has been working with here, and says if that worked, if that is going to play out over the long term, we moved hundreds of years ahead in vaccine development and possibly all medical treatment.
Well, look, I think that a lot of us feel that while this is our first pandemic, there'll be many more. It's hoped, I think, that maybe this is something that can continue to stay ahead of the posse. I don't think this is obviously our last one. I sure hope this thing is effective beyond just, say, 3 to 6 months. That had been the rap, right? I mean, Carl, the sense was we never heard of any, we have not heard a soul say that a vaccine could last more than 3 to 6 months. This doesn't sound like that. I mean, this sounds like you take it and then you take the booster and you're okay. I don't think everybody else is going to give up either. So the idea that it's just going to be one is wrong. If one company can solve it, maybe Moderna can solve it. J&J feels that they're pretty good about it. I wonder, Carl, if there's an ability to be able to have mass distribution far sooner than anyone realizes, given the fact it's in the military's hands. I trust the military.
Yep, it's got to be kept cold. We talked to Carrier Global last week about that, guys, about the challenges of distribution and use once it's delivered. We'll talk more about that later. Some of the pre-market gains today are truly historic. AMC up 63, Disney up 11, Live Nation up 20, Boeing up 14. As we take stock of a historic morning in markets and the world of health. Don't go away.
The market doesn't joke around, so why would you? Get serious. Choose Tasty Trade. Tasty Trade gives you the tools you need to make smarter moves. Dig into data with advanced charting, track profit accurately with order chain trackers, see risk clearly with curve analysis, and trade with low capped commissions, stocks, options, futures, and more. All on one platform. No wonder serious traders choose Tasty Trade. Join the club, genius. Tasty Trading is a registered broker dealer and member of FINRA and SIPC.
If you're just joining us this morning and are stunned by the look at futures, a lot of it has to do with the safety and vaccine data out of Pfizer today, 90% efficacy, essentially. The light at the end of the tunnel, Jim, as Alberto Borla said, a great day for science. In his words, a great day for humanity. And it's going to take us some time to work through all the movers because there are so many.
Right. I mean, look, I think there's going to be profit takers come in when you see the futures up this high. And there's going to be people who say, you know what, this is not going to happen tomorrow. But there are also a lot of people who felt that a Southwest Air was never going to make it or that an American was dead. And I think that what you're going to be able to do, if you can get this vaccine into people's hands, you're going to get travel. You get people going places and things will open. David, it will no longer be a vast wasteland of a nation where you got to stay put and you got to start cooking. What?
Well, you a vast. What some of the things, man? I'm out of your
what?
Mouth. All right, listen.
Well, do you know that
no
I was
doubt.
With a lot of people
there
this weekend
no
who said
that economic activity.
I was with some people last week who said that sometimes David's skeptical of the things you said.
Yeah, just a little bit. I hate to think that we are a vast wasteland of a nation. That said, there's no doubt, Jim, to your point, that we are going to be able to get back much more fully to doing the things that we did previously, particularly as it relates potentially to people coming back into the office and actually conducting business there and travel and so many other things. All that, though, being said, the fact is we still don't know what the world's going to look like post-COVID. We've talked a great deal about it, particularly when it comes to work and how many people are really going to continue to work remotely, what percentage of our workforce,
right.
Carl, will choose to do so.
Right.
And that's going to be so interesting. So many other things, of course, to deal with. But I hear music already. You can see those moves are incredible.
The end of commercials with the beginning of the... Don't we... No
They'll never
commercials?
Go away. Commercials will never go away. COVID,
really?
No COVID, we got commercials.
I thought
commercials.
The world changed. No,
you gotta pay the bills.
Commerce, okay.
Hey, and the ad market's going to change too, potentially, on all this. We'll take a break, get the opening bell, don't go anywhere.
1 in 8, that's how many people have worked at a McDonald's. We'll serve millions the best Big Mac and best birthday party they've ever had. Who haven't just seen kids graduate from a Happy Meal, but have gotten help graduating themselves. Because they know the skills learned here.
Bienvenidos. Welcome to English Under the Arches.
Can
por
help
favor,
you grow average. From here or keep growing here.
Hi, welcome to McDonald's.
1 in 8, start at McDonald's. And where you start stays with you.
For more than a decade, Comcast has been committed to bridging the digital divide and connecting millions to affordable high-speed internet. But the barriers to get connected go well beyond affordability. Through Project Up, Comcast is committing $1 billion to reach millions with digital skills training, resources, and opportunities needed to succeed in a digital world. Project Up, building a future of unlimited possibilities. Learn more at comcast.com/projectup.
All right, we've got a very big trading session ahead for us. 4 minutes from now, we get started with that. But let's hit a quick mad dash here ahead of that. Jim, what are you focused on?
You know, David, I was thinking what you were saying during the break, which is that a lot of stocks have very much anticipated this. And you can't really say that that things haven't moved up a lot. But one of them that was capable of trying to stay in business during this period was Darden. They were large enough to be able to keep it so that they could take tables out and still do well. Of course, this is Olive Garden. They also developed a fantastic digital business during this period just because they just had to. So I think that, David, there's a lot of people in this country who will be going out, and this may be their first place. Now, does that mean it's going to happen tomorrow? Well, there's no vaccine tomorrow. But does that mean that Darden won't make it through the winter? No, Darden will make it because people will say, hey, you know what? I'll hold on to it. Mm-hmm. They'll have the money. So they're the winner. I don't know how many smaller places are going to be able to get to the promised land. I mean, right. Jordan Rivers is on the other side, but still deep and wide,
partner.
Well,
you know, that does get back, of course, to the other kind of big story that we had over the weekend, which is the presidential election concluding with President-elect Biden, of course. And the question, Jim, is to what kind, if any, stimulus you'll get now. I mean, market participants seem more focused on the idea of a Fed leading the charge and continuing to, with the prospect of, let's admit, you know, more likely the Senate stays in Republican control, despite those two runoffs in Georgia for Senate seats, and that you just don't get that large a stimulus. And certainly it would seem nothing between now and Inauguration Day for President-elect Biden.
But I think that this, don't want to talk too much about politics because that was kind of hopefully.
We're done with that. That's it.
But don't you think this cuts in favor of the Republicans in Georgia?
Possibly.
Right.
Possibly. And I mean, so there's going to be a great deal of focus on that. But even if you were to end up 50-50, nothing says what a Biden agenda is really going to move forward in an easy way. If it's to the left, it's very much unclear, regardless if you even had 50-50 and ostensibly Democratic control.
Fracking of federal lands means New Mexico, where there really isn't a lot of oil.
I'm talking more about a lot of spending, which, again, the market does not expect to be coming.
No.
So this is more in the Fed's hands.
Right. The small to medium-sized businesses
may not
make it. But to your point,
do those small and medium-sized businesses get there
or not?
Yeah,
you know, Carl, when I look at these, I look at the small and medium-sized businesses, and a month is a long time. I mean, Square's been really good because Square's been doing cash pay. But the fact is that if you haven't developed a digitized business where you can or a business that you can use DoorDash on, I don't think you make it to when there's a vaccine unless you're really well capitalized, which almost all the restaurant companies aren't.
So what do you think short-term stimulus policy calculus is right now? What is McConnell thinking at this moment?
Well, I think he feels that we're in a V-shaped recovery. So why bother? And I don't think there's going to be any pressure from a president. I know the president's going to object to this term, but a lame duck president doesn't really, I think, have the power to be able to push through anything. I don't think that there's suddenly no rancor between the Democrats and Republicans. I don't know if Secretary Mnuchin is going to walk over and say, listen, it's time to do a deal. I think there could be just one of those stalemates. Sorry. See you next year. And David, a see you next year does not make it for the struggling diner that you may go to.
No, it doesn't. No, it doesn't. And that will continue to be a question, not to mention states that have enormous budget deficits, cities and municipalities around the country that are also facing significant deficits based on the spending that they've had to deal with COVID, not to mention the loss of tax revenues from simply that huge decline in economic activity. And Carl, not to forget COVID cases records around the globe.
4 days, I think now, David, of 100K plus, and I think the average now back above 100K for the first time as we watch hospitalizations, and not just in the upper Midwest, guys, other states along the eastern seaboard as well. There's the opening bell, breath overwhelmingly positive, watching for levels on S&P, and Jim, there's a record high on the S&P, 3655.
Here we go. Yeah, but look, I mean, what's really going on here? Think of Friday. On Friday, we had the state of California perhaps thinking about a total lockdown, one-fifth of the country. We had escalating cases everywhere. Now, none of that's changed. But the one thing that has changed is hope. And I think hope figures in very, very big with the idea that, OK, so now we got to go through a tough period. Let's wear a mask. Let's do social distancing. You don't suddenly just abandon that. But, David, I think that what you say is, you know what? I'm making plans. I'm going to make plans.
I can't wait to make plans. When am I making them for, though, Jim? Is it can I? Well, I can't make them for a Christmas break, right?
No. Well, right? No. But how about? Can't.
All right. So maybe spring break? Maybe the summer? When am I making plans?
I think you make it for spring break. I'm going to open my restaurant by April.
Yeah?
Yeah.
And what are my expectations then? I mean, the vaccine then will be available. It will be, people will start to, the most vulnerable would be the first, I would assume,
right.
And frontline workers and obviously people who are working in hospitals. Carl just mentioned hospitalizations are back up towards the highs. We're over 55,000 in the country. So those people first. But when am I going to be actually getting this vaccine?
Well, I don't know. When are you going to get the vaccine?
Yeah.
I think that Pfizer is telling you, listen, we're going to have it en masse in America very quickly.
Okay, when?
For
am
free.
I getting?
What? I think January 7th?
No way.
Come on,
way.
What are you talking about?
No way.
Why not?
I'm probably not getting the vaccine until I don't know, Carl, help me out here. Most likely, I mean, listen, we're all guessing. We listen to Meg. Well, we listen to Albert Bourla.
Did you hear anybody say it's going to be really late? Well, I mean, they have millions ready. That's the whole thing. They have millions ready.
Okay.
You think that they didn't think
there's
to be
300 and what 30 million people in the country?
Yeah.
So,
but why can't you be one of those people that gets it?
No, I'm not going to be one of those people who gets it. Am
why
I?
Why not?
Well, I don't know. How do I get in the front of that line?
Well, it's not, you know, go to CVS. CVS is committed to doing it. UPS is going to be shipping it to you. The military is going to take care of it. Why are you choosing to not be? Why are you choosing to be a naysayer?
I'm not choosing to be a naysayer. But on that note, by the way, guys, this is an incredible day for Pfizer. You heard Mr. Bourla, of course, the company's CEO, talking about it being one of the in 100 years, one of the great breakthroughs potentially. But Jim, do you see Pfizer 20 years? See that chart?
Well, Pfizer hasn't done that much.
No. It's dead money for 20 years.
It's insane. It's dead money. You know what's an interesting one? I'm going to give you an interesting one. My trust owns it. AbbVie. Okay, so AbbVie, what's the rap against AbbVie? Because I mentioned this because of Pfizer.
Myra, that it goes off patent.
No, well, right. That's that. But because we're not going to...
I thought I got it. That wasn't it?
Well, no. I like that. That's
okay.
Good.
All right.
And in honor of the late Alex Trebek, I'll... Yeah,
will you give me the... that was
I'll
the
give
answer?
You, yeah, but okay. Here's the real answer. Okay. What is Botox? Everyone's been afraid to go get Botox. This has been... The numbers are bad for Botox. Botox is suddenly the drug company. I mean, look, J&J's up big. I don't get that at all. Is it J&J because Pfizer's up big, or is that because of some sort of ETF, single stock risk? But I know I've been following this AbbVie, and it's just been stung because people felt that there was going to be Botox worldwide, and then there was just kind of, I'm staying away from the dermatologist. I don't want the disease. Well, that's one to watch, Carl, because people next year are going to be taking Botox just like they used to.
Take a look at those names, Jim. Carnival leading the S&P right now, Norwegian, all the hotel chains as well. You know, really quickly, I don't want to pivot off of the vaccine for too long, Jim.
No.
But you were talking about the Senate, and David Costin of Goldman did have a note last night asking, what if the blue wave is only delayed by 2 months? Prediction markets looking at Democratic control of the Senate are below 50, but they're off the lows. They've gone from 12 to 25. On the idea that maybe these Georgia runoffs turn different than some people think.
I don't know. I mean, I think that there will be a lot of Republicans who today are saying, now, what did Pfizer really know? And it's really unfair. Did Pfizer elect Biden? Well, you know what? We're going to go down to Georgia and spend millions to make sure that the Senate doesn't go Republican. I think that certainly it certainly could happen. I am sure there are plenty of people in this country who are very angry to think that Pfizer withheld information. David, you know that that's got to be a theme.
It's without a doubt. It's being discussed. It's being questioned. But I'm also looking at things here that indicate that, you know, that was not the case. Mr. Bourla, the CEO, was asked about that. Didn't Pfizer say the event rate in the trial was in the ballpark of 0.11% per month as per protocol is a question. So what happened? You know, why did they do away with the first interim look at 32 events? Meaning symptomatic. And Pfizer says in order to do so, it was accumulating samples but not analyzing them. And Pfizer, and this is from an ISI report this morning, Pfizer was very focused on So there won't be any accusation of they saw something and now they want to change the protocol. So I don't think you're going to find much satisfaction going down that road if you are saying in some way that they withheld or that they could have told us something sooner. But it's certainly going to come up, Jim. There's little doubt about that. These double-digit moves, guys, in some stocks are just stunning.
Which ones do you think?
Well, look at the banks. I mean, the banks?
Yeah, isn't that crazy?
J.P. Morgan's up 11%. Bank of America's up 11%. Citi's up 11%. Wells Fargo's up 13%. I think I'm looking at this right. I can't remember a rally like that in the banks. Guys, there they are. Yeah.
Rates are going to go up.
That's Goldman and Morgan. Let's look at the other big ones.
Well, rates will go up, and so they'll make a little more money. But I think that this is one of those areas where you just buy American Express, MasterCard, and Visa, the real winners, not J.P. Morgan.
Yeah. But, Jim, Wells is up 13%. I mean, this was on everybody's reopening trade, I guess.
Yeah, it was. But, look, I mean, should NVIDIA be down big? I mean, what did NVIDIA do? What did they do to deserve this? Advanced Micro. Why should that be down? Why? Because video games?
It's funny when the market sort of reaffirms a story that you think is probably already happening. Home Depot is basically the only Dow component that's red on this notion, whether you believe it or not, that the improving your home dynamic is coming to an end.
Yeah, I mean, look, I think that that's silly. You have to look at the ones that are down and find the ones that you think should not be down a lot. I think Home Depot shouldn't be up. The reason why Home Depot's been up is because people feel like they have a little more money and they're doing their house. And if you think that they're suddenly going to cancel that and make a trip to go to Japan, that's not going to happen. I do think that it's not what you necessarily buy in this environment. You want to buy non-essential retailers that are suddenly going to stay alive. And I think that makes sense. There was an upgrade for Nordstrom. I mean, Nordstrom is, maybe they go from the do not resuscitate list to the hold list. One of the ones David, I think, is really going to be focused on is Simon Property Group.
Yes, it's funny. I was just looking at Vornado Realty Trust, of course, a huge owner of commercial real estate,
yes,
office buildings. VNO, guys, if we want to bring that up. But to Jim's point, let's also take a look at Simon Property. By the way, the big case coming very soon, I think next week in Michigan, in terms of the Taubman deal. But, Jim, Vornado's up 35%.
Yeah.
35%? 35%.
Well, everyone's short. I guess, Carl, people were short the real estate investment trust.
We'll show it to
it had been a great trade to be short them. I mean, that's one of those things.
It has been.
Great trade to short Federal Realty. Great trade to short Simon. Carl, I think that the shorting is bringing some stocks up. I mean, is Pepsi worth much more today than it was before? You know, Pepsi was going up anyway. But
there
I would say
is.
That Boeing
Thanks,
is. I think yeah. Boeing. I think Boeing's going to get max approval, and it's going to happen before you're in. And I think that that's good news in an era where the Chinese seem to be ready for a new regime. Carl, they seem to be. Eunice Yu was at a. She has such good stuff. Of course, she's on at 3 a.m. No, she was on this morning.
Simon Property is
she's on
30%, Jim.
Well, what am I going to do? I
don't know
sell
what you're going to do.
They report
just,
after the close. What do you think David Simon's going to say? You think he's going to say, listen, we're really hurting?
Maybe he also, take a look at Taubman. Maybe that's going up, too. It's like, oh, okay. Well, you know.
All's fair in love and war and lawsuits. All,
right,
but
exactly.
I thought that Eunice Yu's reporting today, she was at a place. She was at like the equivalent of a deli, Carl, that Biden had visited. And you know, they are ready, apparently, you know, that her reporting was saying that they are ready to make peace. And that would be pretty interesting, let's say, for Wynn? W-Y-N-N. You know, and not just, how about Penn Nat? They're not there, but.
One quick question for you, Jim, on the president's efforts to contest some of the results. Over the weekend, we heard from the Financial Services Forum, from the Business Roundtable, from the National Association of Manufacturers. Today, the U.S. Chamber of Commerce is going to hold a call on how they look forward to working with the Biden White House. I mean, how would you characterize at least business's approach to these results, which, of course, are still not official?
Well, I think that the judiciary, including a lot of the judges that say that President Trump picked, no mood to be able to overturn the will of the people. I don't think that the judiciary feels, the longer this goes on, that it's any right to be able to say, you know what, there should be a do-over. When I hear Chris Christie, who is a fantastic prosecutor, by the way, saying you need to see some evidence, Republican, former governor, you need to see some evidence to be able to go with this. I think that that raises a good point. Show us the evidence beyond just the fact that of anger and belief. Philadelphia was actually, a lot of Philadelphia was being filmed at the time when they were counting him. So when I see Chris Christie, great, tough prosecutor, saying he can't go with the president, then I think that there'll be other people who will no longer fear the president and fear the tweet. David, the tweet fear.
That's ending. It's ending.
You think it is?
Say again?
You think it's ending?
Yes, I do.
I mean,
not that the president is not going to have significant
political power.
If there was a
tweet that just says
David Faber's party.
How about if there's a tweet that says David Faber is really the essence of fake news and you shouldn't trust him? What would you say?
I wouldn't respond.
Really?
No.
That'd be it.
I'll let my 30 plus years stand for itself, and hopefully that'll be enough. Probably not. But you know what? Thankfully, he's never actually tweeted a thing about me, and I would expect that that will continue, unlike you. So I'm happy with that. But I will say
I was in receipts
that he will retain a great deal of, you know, listen, Carl, you know, McConnell is a lot of people are focused on, of course, most likely to continue to Senate Majority Leader. Haven't heard from him at all in terms of him saying anything at this point. Then there's also questions about the transition, which under law, of course, is supposed to begin, but you've got to get the person at the GSA to sign off on it so that funds can be released, so that that can get going from the incoming Biden administration. Not unimportant, by the way, for them to get going in a meaningful way, and they do need the money to do that, so we're still watching that. Guys, one piece of bad news on the medical front over the weekend, and you know what I'm talking about.
Talking about Biogen?
I'm talking about Biogen with the potential Alzheimer's drug. We talked about it Friday. Remember, the stock was halted, but it was only a couple of days prior to that that we thought, given the quote that we got from the FDA staff in terms of their look at the application that was being submitted for approval, that we thought this thing's going to get approved. But the FDA advisory panel, and by the way, it's the FDA that decides, but it's advisory panels advise it, and it more often than not takes their advice, came out strongly against giving approval to Biogen's Alzheimer's drug, saying it basically failed to show effectiveness. What I'm referring to from the FDA comments, and I had tweeted about this because it was conceivably a very good piece of news, was them saying things like this: the effect of aducanumab in study 302 is robust and exceptionally persuasive on several of the instruments used to evaluate efficacy. But what did the panel say? Well, almost the opposite.
Yeah, that was crazy.
They voted 8-1 against, 2 uncertain on the question of, does this study viewed independently without regard provide strong evidence that supports the effectiveness of it for the treatment of Alzheimer's disease? And they said resoundingly no. It's hard to imagine the FDA would approve a drug where you had that from an advisory panel. Terrible day for Biogen and a terrible day for all those people and all those family members who suffer from this horrible disease.
I was shocked at this. I felt that how could you have such diametrically opposed smart people?
Yeah.
And why would I think that the FDA was closer to this than the panel, David?
We got, I mean, and investors, of course, really got head faked here. You know, everybody looked at those quotes, and that wasn't the only one. There were other very positive ones in terms of when you looked at the application and the FDA's position, which was a part of it. They would have sort of, you got the sense that, oh, wow, they're very, very positive on this. And so you did not go into that advisory panel meeting with the expectation it would be resoundingly, no, this is not effective. And Jim,
is it the last word, David? Is there more?
Well, I mean, I'm looking at a lot of the research notes this morning, and almost all of them anticipate that it will be years before they can really come back without they need additional clinical data, and that could take years if they choose to do it.
But, yeah, I mean, I was shocked at this, and obviously this is one of those where if you bet the smart way, which was that it'd be approved, Carl, you got crushed, but because I think it's just highly unusual to see that. By the way, there's a lot of stocks today that are down really big that are really questionable, that things are bad at the company. And, I mean, you know, Lulu's only down 2. But should Lulu be bought right here? I think if Lulu goes down another couple of days, you should. The cloud stocks are unbelievably bad. I mean, how long should ServiceNow go down? I'm not quite sure how long ServiceNow should go down. How But how high should the rails go? The rails are doing incredible. And then even within the semiconductors, you have a company like Texas Instruments, which is viewed as an Internet of Things semi, okay? And that stock is roaring. But you have Advanced Micro, which is viewed as a gaming stock. Well, that's wrong. I mean, people are just making these judgments, and they're going to regret them. I mean, honestly, do you buy a utility today? Why? Why would you buy a utility today?
Our parent company, Comcast, Carl, is up 8%. You know, first I was like, what? And then, of course,
that's a record high.
Right, record high, and that's theme parks.
I'm going to Comcast.
And movie production and people going back and sitting in a movie theater again, which we all hope will happen one day.
Little theme park action.
Yeah, theme parks. Very important. Right? Disney up over 12%.
Record high on our parent company. Disney, not quite a record high, but it's a high for the year. Jim, one thing we haven't touched on is not just the Pfizer news, but potential follow-on news. Fauci's on the tape right now saying that Moderna's results could be similar to Pfizer's, and that the Pfizer efficacy data is, in his words, extraordinary. So we're not done watching the progress of these trials.
No, look, I think that it's just a question of how quickly we can get it in people's hands. I do think that UPS is down today because UPS is part of what's regarded as the stay-at-home trade.
Right.
But when I listen to Carol Tomei tell us that she's got the freezer farm, why would I want to sell that? I mean, she can be a vaccine play if you want to go that way. I think that there are a lot of stocks that are down that will reverse. I mean, what is the negative case of Facebook, David, off of this?
I'm hard-pressed to come up with one.
How about Alphabet, which has benefited so much from travel ads, and then the travel ads just went away? I mean, should you be a seller of Alphabet based on the fact that their principal source of advertising is now back? Why would you... You buy Alphabet, it's up 26%.
It's a question. And by the way, you can certainly make an argument as to why Amazon should be down, but don't we think its business has been forever changed for the better for
it? Well, that's the thing. That's a secular growth. Yeah. And do you think that Marriott is going to have a great quarter?
In a stock that's gone up so much.
What's going to have you buy Marriott today? You think that tomorrow you'll get some upgrades because people can't resist, right? So that stock goes to 126. And then I think you sell it because then you got 7 months, according to your calculations, when we'll be able to get the
My calculations.
Well, I mean, I'm
going to defer to the experts on this, but no? We will
okay,
be watching closely.
Just kidding. I mean, Carl, I just think that what happens is people get very euphoric about some stocks, and the ones that are up, say, 10% or 15%, those won't have a catalyst tomorrow. I mean, Simon Property reports tonight. What is Simon Property going to say? Well, you know, look, things look better than ever because there's a vaccine in June? No. I mean,
now he admits June. Yep. You hear that, Carl? Now he's on the June timeline.
June. We're going to pin him down. Well, he did say Cinco de Mayo on the opening of Bar
San
Miguel.
Well, that's when my restaurant's going to be open. And, David, I might even treat you to
there,
a Modelo.
Baby. I am going to be there. And yeah, I'm not having a Modelo on Cinco de Mayo.
You have one of my $12 margaritas?
Yeah, I'm going to have your most expensive tequila. You get it ready for me.
No, you can't afford it.
Yeah, I don't need to afford it.
You're buying. $40 shot.
You are buying.
Plaza Azul, my friend. I'm marking it up to 80. Sunshine.
Can't wait.
Guys, it's the first Dow record in 9 months and the biggest one-day jump for Dow S&P since April. Let's get to Bob Pisani. Hey, Bob.
Good morning, guys. What a wonderful morning. Great news for the country and the world here. 260 new highs, Carl. You were talking about new highs. 260 on the New York Stock Exchange. We haven't seen that in a long, long time. And, of course, a record high on the S&P 500. Take a look. We needed to get over 3588 was the intraday old high. 3580 is the closing high. But that was back on September 2nd, we're way past that right now, as you can see. So new highs there on the S&P. Sector-wise, you know, what you'd expect. Cyclicals moving over big cap, mega cap tech and growth. So energy, oil's over 40 again. Banks flying, as you heard from David. Industrial strong. Got some new highs there as well. Tech still doing pretty well, just underperforming relative to everything else. So the story, first off, out of big cap and sort of into small cap. So the S&P 500 is doing great today, but the S&P small cap, if you take a look, is also doing really well. In fact, outperforming generally, as you can see here. Look at that, up 7% on the small cap. That's the 600 is what you want to look at there. So out of big cap into small cap. Out of mega cap, tech and growth, generally into value and cyclical, but not that much. You see this is an underperformance here, and Amazon and Facebook are down. But let's just call it, compared to the market, kind of flattish, actually. A bit of a victory for those who want that out of mega cap growth story, but definitely into value and cyclical. Just putting up some of the mega industrial names today. You got Honeywell. Is Honeywell sitting there right there near 200? Caterpillar, 3M. Those are huge moves for these stocks, given that they've already had a move. And of course, out of work from home and into travel and leisure. So work from home stuff, your eBay, Peloton, particularly down notably here, Zoom as well, and into travel and leisure overall. Disney, Delta, American Express, all rallying nicely, as you can see here. These are double-digit moves in those sectors. I think the question here, we are, I don't want to sound like Debbie Downer, but we are technically moving into overbought territory. The question is, does it even matter here? That's not, may not even be a relevant question. Does it matter? I don't think it matters with Delta, for example. So Delta was, what, $60 in January or February? If you put up Delta, it was $60. And so it went to $30, and now it's rallying big. So does it matter now that the market's getting? No, Delta's got a long way to go. Delta is probably going to lose $10 this year. Maybe it'll be profitable next year. We don't know. Maybe, but that's certainly the hope at this point. So, yeah, the market doesn't matter with this kind of rally for a Delta. It's got a long way to go. But look at Honeywell. I mean, Honeywell was 160 last week. Now it's sitting at a new high. It had good earnings. It had good guidance. But, you know, they're going to make $8 next year. So it's a $200 stock. It's 25 times forward earnings. I don't know. That's at the upper end of what Honeywell's ever traded at. So there are reasonable questions here about market relative value that makes some sense. Obviously, on a day like today, we should all be happy and celebrating, and we all are. But in the next couple of days, there's going to be a reevaluation of where the market's values are. And there's going to be some definite values out there. You're going to see them in the travel and leisure stocks that are still available. But for a lot of other this stuff, even on the cyclical side that's been moving, it's not going to be so obvious that we're going to keep going up and up and up. Guys, back to you.
Yeah. In fact, Dow session high today was up 1610. We're off of that, obviously. McDonald's, the other story this morning in terms of earnings, expecting mid-single digit sales growth in 2021 and 2022. Fast food giant plotting its recovery here in response to how consumer behavior has changed, unveiling a new strategy to investors this morning, which doubles down on things like preference for core menu, the surge, obviously, in drive-through, Jim, and doubling down on digital with mobile apps and mobile payments.
Right. I thought the numbers were great.
What happens to the quick service casual split if this vaccine works?
All right. Candidly, it's the loser. And I think McDonald's would have been up much more. I saw those numbers. I really liked them. But I think there's going to be a sense that if I have the choice between going out to a not a quick serve but a regular, then I think I would go there. The idea I felt was that McDonald's was going to survive and the others would fail. And that's why you buy the stock. They've done a lot of things right. I don't think the company's going to have worse earnings. It's just that you buy the companies that have better earnings, like Texas Roadhouse, David. You buy a company that has, like, Cheesecake Factory. With Cheesecake Factory, it was, I know it's very small, but it was the kind of company that I would say, can they make it?
Right.
And now I say, give me cheesecake.
But again, they've got to sort of bridge the gap between now and when people are really going to feel. It's going to be months, Jim, months. We don't have an approved vaccine yet. It's going to be months.
Dr. Fauci just said it's extraordinary.
It is extraordinary. The 90% rate is what he's talking about, and that is extraordinary. Well, guys, before, I mean, you know, Carl, the stay-at-home trade is obviously reversing. Netflix is down over 7%. You see Peloton, guys?
I know. Queen's Gambit not playing the role. It's going to hear talk about Queen's Gambit. Well, forget about that, partner.
We've been watching that.
Yeah, we do.
Yeah.
Bobby Fischer version.
The female version, I guess.
Yeah. All right.
But Netflix is down over 7%.
Well, look at Clorox. They had an amazing quarter, Carl. I mean, Clorox was another one. But, I mean, I don't think we're going to stockpile Clorox so that we're ready in June. I just don't think that happens.
Yeah. And Zoom, Jim, we've talked about this all year long, right? I mean, do we give back the entire Zoom trade? Seems unlikely, right?
No, we've discovered that you can do a lot of business by Zoom. And I think that a lot of people feel, you know what, we saved a lot of money using Zoom. I think you're just trying to find a level to buy Zoom. There are a lot of people who like it. There are a lot of people who are going to say that's the most hideous chart I've ever seen. But I do think that Zoom is here to stay. It's just that I think that the 50 times sales cohort that we had, the 100-time sales cohort with Snowflake. I think those have to be taken down just because they were presuming that there'd be no competitors. And now I think things get a little bit more, you know, look, I just don't think you pay 50 times sales in this environment. You look for something that's a little less expensive.
Jim, you were talking about MasterCard, Visa being winners. AXP's right now the best Dow stock.
Oh, it's so deserving. I mean, I was on that conference call.
Almost a,
Carl, people are going to go somewhere. I mean, one of the things that was amazing about the conference call, a lot of it was like how small, medium-sized business isn't doing that badly. But what I like about American Express is that American Express is regarded as a travel play. MasterCard had a bad quarter, okay? MasterCard missed the numbers. It was quite jarring. MasterCard doesn't miss the numbers. Why did they miss? Travel. And so I think people are anticipating that that right here is back. You're taking that whole miss away. I don't know if that's that necessarily true. The one I like on that chart is Boeing. I come back to the fact that Boeing made it. They did a deal, David.
Yeah.
They got money. They borrowed money a couple of weeks ago.
Oh, a couple of weeks ago. I thought you were talking about that seminal moment when
they got some more.
Because that was my 26th.
They got some.
Bill.
What do you think is
going to
happen? I think that the MAX gets approval by year end. The Chinese place a big order with MAX. This is, of course, my Boeing fantasy because my trust owns it. And not happy days are here again, but that they make it. They make it.
Well, they're going to make it. I mean, it's not like they don't have market cap. I mean, you're still talking about a $100 billion market cap company. Now, granted, it's not 200 anymore, but.
Well, no, but I think that there are a lot of people who felt that this thing just gets worse and worse and worse. And President Trump wins and the Chinese hate us. And there were visions of sugar plums dancing on their head.
Yeah, I still think it's a fascinating day in so many ways because you do start to think about the post-COVID world, what that's going to look like, what kind of multiples you're willing to pay, where are rates going to be. They're going to be
the rates
low
are going to go up.
They're going to go up how much? What, are we ever going to see a 1% 10-year again?
Yes.
We will.
Okay. Yes. Are you kidding me?
How about 2%?
I don't know. See, as soon as I say that, then you're going to say you're going to hang me on that. But, Carl, rates are going higher. I mean.
They are?
Well. There'll be a lot more business activity if we're allowed to get out of our houses.
Fed's going to keep it pegged right down there. I mean, they're not going anywhere.
People might even build a skyscraper again.
No.
Oh, you think it's done?
What kind of return on invested capital are you going to get on that? Really?
Well,
I mean, 20% of any, they're not going, 20% of your workforce is going to be working from home at any one time, right? 10% permanently and another 10% here and there. You know, different 10%.
Okay, you're Jamie Dimon.
You just you're Jamie Dimon. You're building that giant tower.
Okay,
you
that was ill-advised. That was ill-advised.
You're building it up. Now, you didn't know this, of course, and for them, it's a rounding error, whatever, a few billion here, a few billion there.
But don't you tell him, doesn't he say, Carl, you know what, everybody we just hired, you're coming to work. No more Zoom for you.
That's true.
Because, you know, he's got the Hollywood Squares things going with the, you know, the 70 Hollywood Squares, and there's guys, like, you know, thinking that they're not on, doing stuff.
Yeah, I think when we're talking about office staffing, especially guys in the major cities, say with the banks, you're going to talk less about the COVID worries and more about the tax worries, right?
Yes.
And that's why we're going to see dispersion of the employee base into the Nashvilles and the Austins and the Salt Lake cities.
Yes.
Yeah, that's going to become a concern, although, again, there's not an expectation now of taxes rising on high earners as much as there might have been if it had been that so-called blue wave, which certainly didn't happen, Carl. But I think Jim's point's a good one. The younger people that you want to acculturate, that you want to, they have to be there. They have to be there. But, Jim, that doesn't mean that your 10, 15, 20-year veterans have to be there. They don't, and they won't.
They'll be there if another guy does it. Let's say Goldman Sachs suddenly starts making more money.
I know.
Because David Solomon says, listen, no more DJ. We're all going to work.
I'm not saying that 80% will be back or 85%, but not. It's 100% of the workforce that was in a building previously, it's not going to be there.
Well, I think that's not my point. My point is that if the guy who's traveling is getting the orders, then everyone's going to travel.
You're right. Everybody else will get back on a plane if somebody's actually beating them.
But I think that, Carl, I would ask someone before, I would say, hey, listen, have you had the vaccine? I'll come see you. If you hadn't, no, I'll Zoom you. I want to know who's Zooming who.
You're right. We talked, remember, it seems like a lifetime ago, but in March and April, we were talking about immunity passports, and maybe we're getting to a point where we actually start printing some, Jim. Let's talk about what's on Mad tonight.
Man, I don't even know. Bill Brown, the defense, and Scott Wine, for off-road vehicles. I didn't mean to be, it's just that I'm kind of, I am actually, David, a little more euphoric. I know you're skeptical.
I'm not skeptical.
No, you're skeptical. You're actually no different from before we heard the Pfizer news.
That is not true. This was, no, not true
no?
at all. Carl, that is not true. That is a lie.
That's a lie?
Yes.
All right, we got to go. Can I just say once again, I loved Alex Trebek.
Loved him.
Yes. Yes. Our thoughts are with his family, man. Jim, we'll see you tonight. Mad Money, 6 p.m. Eastern time.
You've been listening to The Opening Bell on CNBC's Squawk on the Street.
What's on the horizon for financial markets? At PGIM, it's a question that over 1,400 investment professionals relentlessly research in pursuit of your long-term goals. Specialized across asset classes, but united in collaboration, our teams provide global and local expertise. Our investments shape tomorrow, today. Pursue your tomorrow with PGIM, a leading global asset manager.